the living God. Today is your day. Yeah? The Lord says to you, Hebrews 6:4. He says, by multiplying I will multiply thee, and by blessing I will bless thee. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? For it is impossible for those who are enlightened. No. Is it Hebrews 6:4? Hebrews 6:3? I think that's the scripture. It says, by multiplying I will multiply thee, and by blessing I will bless thee. Praise the Lord. Yeah? That is your scripture for the season. You look for it and find it. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? It's a scripture for this season. God is going to multiply you. That means those who haven't had a chance to have children, you shall be multiplied in the name of Jesus. Those who have been looking to multiply money, you multiply it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Eh? Those who are ministers, you multiply into sons and daughters. Or we say sons, in the name of Jesus. Eh? Praise the Lord. Or your name multiplies. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? All right. We're going to go into some deep things. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? Are you ready? All right. Where do we start? Where should I start? Okay, Matthew. I think it's Matthew 12:33. Let's go there. Matthew 12:33. Hear the Lord say. Okay. Jesus is speaking, and he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Then he says, for the tree is known by his fruit. I'll read it again. Very, very important. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Give me NKJV. You guys are good? You're good? Yeah. All right. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. It's relatively the same thing. Now, that is the foundation that the Spirit wants to set right now. But we're going to start from the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, praise the living God. Now, if you're like me, I'm a person who's fascinated by things that are much deeper within scripture than can be seen on top. I'm fascinated by the mysteries of God found within scripture. Paul writing said, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. That means every scripture says more than it says. Okay? Praise the Lord. It says more than it says. So behind every scripture, and for those who have been around for some time, I've taught that there are actually 7 levels minimum of revelation in scripture or the Bible. Because scripture says in Psalms, the word is purified 7 times over. Okay? So just imagine, and remember for those who are around when I said that, if you got just one scripture and got the 7 levels of its revelation, just one, you'd be operating beyond the normal. If someone got every scripture in the Bible and found 7 levels of revelation, they're translated, you can't be here. Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? So the 7 levels, and I'm a person who believes in the mysteries within scripture, and it's something that the Lord has ushered me into. It's something that ushered me into my call. Now, I began to realize as I was reading the Bible that there are mysteries, especially in the book of Genesis, that are connected to things like colors, connected to things like numbers, connected to what we call types and shadows, and patterns. Okay? You with me so far? Okay? So, in the book of Genesis, especially in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, there are revelations of colors that you know nothing about. For another day. Praise the Lord. Eh? There are also revelations about numbers. And we know that there are major numbers mentioned within the Bible. Major numbers. Because the Bible says, in essence, if you look through scripture, it talks about the things that are seen are as a result of things that are spiritual. Hebrews 11:3 says, By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God's word, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that do appear. So everything in the natural, in its very sense, has a spiritual precursor. Now, whether you believe me or not, and one day the Lord will take you into this experience, but there are dimensions in the spirit that are purely numbers. Okay. Huh? Purely numbers. Eh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eh? To you, it's just counting and digits. Eh? But spiritually, there's something behind each number. Eh? And I'm sure many of you have heard this enough, but in the book of Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, we see the numbers that are precursored. So there's a rule. Whatever is established in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, we maintain the meaning of that number throughout the rest of scripture. Okay? It's called the law of first mention. So when I find number 2 in Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, the meaning I get from it is established throughout scripture. It doesn't change. Okay? That's why the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, is extremely important in setting foundations for the rest of scripture. Yes? Yes. So for example, quick one, eh? Genesis 1 talks about two great lights. Yes? The moon and the sun. The number 2 is established there. The Bible talks about in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, it says there were 4 rivers. So the number 4 is there. Okay? The Bible talks about man being made on the 6th day. So the number 6 is there. Yes? Which is established and attached to man. So 6 is an earthly number. Yes? Is a manly number. And the reason why the Antichrist is given the number 666 is because 7 is a number of perfection and he can't reach it. Yes? Now, then we see 7. The Bible talks about the 7th day, the word Shabbat, the day of rest. The only day in Genesis that is given a name. The rest are just given numbers. First day, second day, third day. Praise the Lord. Okay? Slow enough. So, but the 7th day is named. It is given a name, Shabbat, Sabbath, the day of rest. Okay? And I'm really summarizing this because I've missed some numbers, but just for the sake of time. But all those numbers can be found between Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. They are found there. They are established. And the understanding of them sets a foundation for the rest of scripture. Most of the numbers, especially spiritually attached, start from 1 all the way up to 12. 12 being the number of what? The number of... The number of? 12 is the number of? Simon? Okay. 12 is a governmental number. Government, an establishment of government. And so I look through Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. For the sake of time, I look through Genesis 1, 2, 3. And I found that all those first numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, could be found in Genesis 1, 2, 3, except for 12. Okay, you with me? Now, please understand that all this is attached to the scripture I started with. You might not see it, but we're going to end up somewhere totally different. Now, so I searched and I found that 12 was missing from Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And yet if we find that 12 is such an important number to God, okay, that the Bible talks about, actually, just even in the natural, in the stars, there are 12 constellations. Yes? In our body, we have 12 major organs. Our ribs are 24, 12 on one side, 12 on the other side. Okay, you guys didn't know. Yeah? You have 12 major openings in your body. I won't go into that. Eh? Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? There are 12 minerals that are in your blood necessary for your body to function. So God instills 12 in the sky, instills 12 in your body, showing how important the governmental number is. If we look through scripture, we see the establishment of the number 12. Yes? We see that there were 12 sons of Jacob, 12 disciples. The Bible talks about 12 foundation stones upon which the new Jerusalem is built. It talks about 12 gates that city has. Okay?
So how, having established that throughout scripture, 12 is, even in your life, 12 is essential, but it's not in chapter 1, 2, or 3 of Genesis. You guys are getting where I'm coming from, yeah? So, and you go and check for yourself. So, I began to look through scripture, and the Lord opened something up to me, as He always does, and showed me that the Bible says that God, in Genesis chapter 2, give me verse 8. Father, guide me. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Yes? And there He put the man whom He had formed. And we've talked about this before. We said that Eden was not the name of the garden. The garden was put in a place called Eden. Huh? Just mere English, eh? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Eden is not the name of the garden. Eden was a place. I want to submit to you. I'm going to suggest to you something, but I'm really not suggesting. Huh? But I'm going to suggest to you something, and you can take it or leave it. Back those days, when I used to teach on this scripture, I used to, like many people do, I taught from the perspective of Revelation to the mind that Eden was a place that actually existed on earth. Yes? And so many people are busy trying to look for where Eden was, eh? Huh? On earth here. Yeah. But now I'm suggesting to you something, which I'm not really suggesting, but you just take it, eh? This Eden, the Bible says, and I'm just touching it briefly, eh? The Bible says of Lucifer, Ezekiel 28, I think it's verse 15. It says, you are in Eden, the garden of God, and you are ordained with every stone. It names the stones, eh? Okay? There are 9 stones that are named. Eh? There's another reason for that. But, so Lucifer was in the garden of Eden. But it's not the garden that we see in Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because Ezekiel 28 verse 15 is referring to a period before Lucifer fell. Huh? Yes? Before Lucifer fell. You are perfect in all your ways, it says, and then you are in Eden, the garden of God. That's not a place on earth. In fact, I submit to you Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. Revelation 22 verse 2. I'm suggesting, and I'm not speaking from theory. I'll leave it there. But you see, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. Now, this is John who's caught up in the spirit and sees a tree of life that was in the garden, and he sees it in heaven. Now, the perception in theology is that God transplanted it. That's not what happened. Now, I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. That's not what happened. What actually, quick summary, what actually happened is that the Bible says man was formed in Eden, a place that is a dimension in the spirit. Okay. And he was given dominion over the earth. From that dimension, he was to replenish, till the earth, and turn it into what Eden was. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not the only one who has seen this or experienced it. I'm not the only one. One day you hear it and you remember, I was the one who told you, yeah? But the actual thing was, man was supposed to dominate earth from above. You can take it or leave it, it's okay. Now, here's what happened. When man fell, the Bible says cherubim were put at the east entrance, and he was sent out. He was sent out to earth. I know what I'm talking about. And I pray that the Lord opens your eyes someday and you see it. And you realize that many of the things that we read in scripture, we really come up with our own explanations. That's why experience is extremely crucial. So he's sent out to a world. And he has to till the earth, and which was never meant to be the case. Okay? Do you know that before the fall, the imagination of man was now. It was in the present. So everything he imagined. When man fell, his imagination became future. Huh? So now you have to envision and believe for things to come. Yeah, praise the Lord. His imagination became future. His entire world changed more than you could ever know. It changed. And who he was at a particular time changed. Now, when Jesus came, he restores us back to Eden. And this is extremely important because I haven't even got where I want to go. But extremely important because this is the reason why the Bible continuously says you are seated in high places. You see, when a person is dominating, they don't dominate from the same level. Because to see the area you're dominating, you need to be above it. Yes? Praise the Lord. Okay? So this is a place that was in another dimension. And according to Revelation 22 verse 2, it actually, that dimension is still there. And so when I noticed, the Lord gave me a principle. The principle was, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. It's a spiritual law in scripture. So that means every time you read scripture, to find out what's happening in our time, we first go back to the beginning. Yes? And so I found that when I looked at the tree of life in scripture in Genesis, the Bible says God plants a tree of life. But we don't know what the tree of life is like until we see Revelation 22 verse 2. Which scripture then says, it produced 12 manner of fruit. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? So the number 12 is actually there in Genesis 1, 2. But you just don't see it. Okay, I'll say again. In Revelation 22 verse 2, he says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare, the same tree of life that never changed. In the very same dimension that Adam was kicked out of. And even though we don't see it in Genesis chapter 2, that tree had 12 manner of fruit because it is instilled here. Can we agree? Too heavy. Okay. No, it's okay. As we go on, we shall get it. Eh? Now, as I read through scripture, as I read through Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, I began to realize that if you remember, for those who have been around, I said that Jesus is always in scripture. And so I remember I asked you, I said, the tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and bad, can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus? One, who is Jesus? He's the tree of life. He's the tree of life. Eh? And I remember when I went on, I said, you can track Jesus throughout scripture. Genesis chapter 3, he's the seed that will come through woman and trample upon the head of a serpent. Seed singular. In Genesis chapter 4, he's Abel. Huh? In Genesis chapter 5, he's a set of names. I won't go into that. In Genesis chapter 6, he's the righteous Noah, the only one in an evil generation. In chapter 7, he's the ark. Okay? So he's there. Now, here's interesting because Jesus is the tree of life in the book of Genesis. Chapter 2. And remember when I said that there are many mysteries in scripture, some attached to colors, some attached to numbers, like I've explained. Some attached to what we call types, shadows, and patterns. A type, Luzungu. A type symbolizes an individual thing that represents something spiritual. So for example, the lamb that Abraham put on the altar was a type of Jesus. Yes? Also, Isaac was a type of Jesus. Okay? Types are individuals. Shadows are events or circumstances. Okay? So the event of Abraham putting his son on the altar is a foreshadow of an event of Christ dying on the cross. You get? Types and shadows. Praise the Lord. Okay? Shadow means that this is not the real thing. You just see it to see the real thing. You know that the real thing exists. Alright? Praise the Lord. Real teaching, yeah? Okay. So, Jesus was the tree of life. And I was reading through scripture and I brought myself. You know, I usually have discussions with God. So I asked. I ever asked yourself a question? Why did God create plants and animals? He could have just created some form of an earth or whatsoever and put man in there. Why did he go through all that? Because the Bible says, and he spoke to the ground, and the ground came, brought forth different types of... Give me Genesis 2 verse 9. Genesis 2 verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, let me assure you that every tree that was in the Garden of Eden, if the first two trees, the ones that we see, are the tree of knowledge of good and bad and the tree of life, I want to submit to you that by principle, the other trees, there was a tree of wisdom, there was a tree of hope, there was a tree of love, not your normal trees here. And I know what I'm talking about. All those trees, now this is a dimension, all those trees were holders of a spiritual attribute. Now, the mind of the spirit, what God desired for Abraham, for Adam, was that when Adam ate of a tree, and many of you have heard this, of course, because God doesn't tell him, don't eat of the tree of life. He just says, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Now, the mind of the spirit was that there was a life, because we know Adam was alive, yes? But there was a life he did not have. Otherwise, there would never have been a tree of... Yes, there's a life he did not have. Now, that tree was put there, and I've told you, that the principle, by principle, there were other trees. The mind in the spirit, now this is where you need to get it. The mind in the spirit is that if Adam and Eve ate of a tree of life, they would receive an impartation of life. Yes? Just like when they ate of tree of knowledge of good and bad, they received an impartation of knowledge of good and bad. Now I'm telling you as you hear me, that impartation has different dimensions. I can come lay hands and impart on you. But sometimes you have a dream where an angel appears and tells you eat. Now. And you see the thing is that for you, you just eating. But there are impartations according to what is eaten. Yes? Praise the Lord. Impartations according to what is eaten. So I was asking the Lord, why put trees? Why put animals? And you see, the mind is that this. Of course, you hear men preach, and on a natural level, they say that, God first created the environment for man, created it for man, and then put man in the crown of what? Creation. And indeed, on a certain level, that's true. But the more you go deeper, you begin to realize, like I've told many of you, that plants in scripture symbolize spiritual attributes. And animals symbolize soulish attributes. That's why the Bible refers to wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. Jesus refers to Herod as a fox. He's referring to the state of his soul. Praise the Lord. And so, your soul has attributes, all these animals that you see, some of which never made it past the flood, are the extent of growth of the attributes of the soul of a man. So your soul, let me tell you, Pride is a lion, but courage can also be a lion. You understand? And so, a mule means someone's hardworking. Huh? As hardworking as a mule. All these symbolics are things of the characteristics of the soul of a man. And each number of animal, creature created, symbolizes the extent of growth of your soul. Of a man's soul. I know what I'm talking about. And because this world is fallen, you can never fully grow to the extent that your soul is supposed to. That's why we don't stop here. Yes? Even your spirit. I've told you plants have a spiritual attribute. And so the Bible, Jesus says, he refers to our relationship with him as a vine. I am a vine, you are the branches. The Bible refers to faith as a mustard seed. You're with me? Fig trees in scripture represent religion. The first time we see them, the Bible says Adam and Eve are naked and they get figs and cover themselves. Move from spiritual to religious. Jesus standing before a fig tree that did not produce fruit, he demands that it produces fruit. Curses it. Says, no man shall ever eat from you again. It's just more than just a tree. His spirit is confronting religion. Now, what that actually means in the spiritual world is that a religious person cannot produce what the spirit refers to as fruit. Huh? Now, there's a difference between results and fruit. Results are performed. Fruit are grown. Huh? Praise the Lord, eh? Praise the Lord! Why are you so quiet? Eh? So God plants, and this is why I need you to get this. Eh? Everything that was created on the face of the earth, on the natural realm, has a DNA. Plants have a DNA, okay? Animals have a DNA. Men have DNA. Your body has a DNA. But I want to submit to you that your soul has a DNA, and so does your spirit. For another day, but it's what you call spiritual DNA. And remember, for those who have been around, I emphasize that Paul says, you have the faith that was in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. Okay? That faith is in you. That's a spiritual DNA. Okay? Things that are passed on. So, in you, and this is why you need to understand that in your dream world, when you dream, sometimes an animal can appear and it's showing you the state of your soul. Huh? Or sometimes it can be showing the state of someone else's soul. Snakes are not always witchcraft, but now. Huh? So you see, man, I saw this person, then all of a sudden he turned into a snake. Eh? Then he's a witch doctor, witch doctor. No, not necessarily so. This is where discernment is extremely crucial. Sometimes, and this it's very, very important because all these things, the world fell. When it fell, when Adam fell, imagine this fallen world, even in this fallen world, the plants still have healing components. Huh? Now remember I read for you Revelation 22 verse 2 and it says the tree produced fruit, 12 man of fruit that was for the healing of the nations. Okay? Now these plants that we have today, at their fallen state, we produce the drugs that people need. These plants, fallen plants, still having healing components. And it's actually the secret why in Genesis chapter 1 verse 29. Will I get to where I want to get one night? Will I? Are you sure? 129. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. God is speaking to man. And he says, plants shall be meat. Huh? And it's actually the reason, for those who have been around, actually the reason why man before Noah was not allowed to eat meat. When Noah, after the flood comes out, offers sacrifice, God then says, you shall eat meat. Okay? That means there was something that was suitable in plants. What you fruit that you eat today, you eat a mango, in the spirit realm, it's much more than just what you... Just pick your favorite fruit. It is a fallen taste. Huh? Yes. Pick your favorite fruit. It's a fallen taste. Now, and you know that when you reach the heavenlies, there will be no eating meat. Huh? You're going to be eating the very same plants and fruit, and you say, but now, I'm really mad. I like my pork. Eh? But you still have a mindset of that today. Yet there was a previous capacity and attributes that these plants had that one day you will test. Eh? Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? So all these things God put there. Now, all that I've said to bring it to this point, that men are trees. Every man is a type of tree. Take me back to our original scripture. What was it? I think it was Matthew 12:33. Take me back. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known. Give me KJV. Notice it says, for the tree is known by his personal. Huh? That's the actual understanding of it. Now, everyone in here is a type of tree in the spirit. Everyone here produces a type of fruit in the spirit. Everyone. Now, you see, I pray you understand where I'm coming from, because this brings the importance of character, huh? In the things of God. Now, I've reached where I want to reach. Eh? Brings the importance of character. You see, Matthew 7:20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Huh? How many of you did agriculture? And I just did not like agriculture. But by mind is this. Eh? There are people who by looking at a tree can know what tree it is. Absent of fruit. Huh? So you look at a tree and you know this is a fene tree. Okay, in English it's jackfruit. Eh? Okay, so you know it is a fene tree. But Jesus speaking here, mind of the spirit, he doesn't say you look at a tree and you know it's a tree. He says a tree is known by its fruit. Now, what he's trying to say is that even if you look at a mango tree and it's a mango tree, it's not yet a mango tree until it produces. You get what I'm saying? Now, which means, now, this dimension is extremely important for men of God, for people you're going to date or get married to. Very important. We're touching toes now. But a tree can look like a banana tree. But what Jesus is saying here by the Spirit is, before you call it a banana tree, wait for its fruit. Huh? Yes? Let me tell you something. He's talking here about knowledge. He says a tree is known by its fruit. Many times, even in the natural world, when we pick people to work, because of the quickness of which we want certain positions to be filled, we pick people according to potential and gifting. But the fact that people are fired is proof that there's a deeper thing that we did not attribute to when we were hiring. Yes? Otherwise, there will be no firing. Okay? Now, it's true by fact that you can look at me. Let me not use me. Who do I use? You can use... let me use the disciple. You look at him, but he's a married man. I want someone. Huh? But you guys know what I want to use you for. Okay, you look at Albert. Eh? You look at Albert, and you say, Albert looks good. Albert got the cash. Albert drives a nice car. Albert, Albert is an orange tree. Huh? Now, there's a principle in scripture. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Very important. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. It says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Give me NKJV, so I don't bite my tongue. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, what that means is that in the spiritual world, there are time frames that overlook the natural time. There's a time in the spirit where God expects you to be a teacher. Not a teacher in the office, but a master of the thing that you're called to. Okay? And he says, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Next verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. We'll touch that one day. For he's a babe. 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, who are full age, which is there is a maturity in the spirit where God looks and says, this person is full of age. Okay? Now, it's important that the Spirit of God helps, is telling me to emphasize this, that sometimes we see people that act immature, but the fruit are not yet ripe. Give it time. Okay? Don't be quick to judge. Okay? Because Jesus' anger with the fig tree was because it did not have fruit. But when someone has fruit and it's bitter, it's not yet time. You understand? Are you with me? Now, what Jesus was saying when he said, you shall know them by the fruit, what he was saying is that seasons reveal characters. Huh? Now, let me hit this on both points. That there are people on the face of it who look like they got it all. And who look like they are your best friends. Until a certain season comes. Huh? Yes? And when the season comes, their fruit is revealed. Huh? And you say, but was this person really my friend? I know for a fact that there are certain things that you go through in life so God can reveal to you who is around you. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? And so, on one particular day, you're gossiping together about another person, gossiping together, until the day they gossip about you, the person you've been with. Then you realize what exactly you've been doing. You see, what he's saying is, you shall know them by their fruit. You know, seasons reveal characters. They do. I tell you, men are trees. There are people, and I've understood this, that there are times that people do not have a certain maturity to contain certain things. But God puts an anointing upon them because of the cry of the people. So the people need a deliverer. God looks around and says, I just need someone, even if you have anger problems, Moses. Ah! And so the mind that most people have is, God has given it to me because I'm... And bad news. Huh? When you see me, prostrate. And yet you find that God puts something on someone for the sake of his people. I've learned with my walk with God that there are times miracles happen not because of me. In the very sense of how I've prayed or what, I've come from KFC. And I just come, lay hands and boom! And so, you find that God is desiring more than ever to meet the needs of his people. So he puts something on someone. But now, here's the thing. Anointing can be put on a person irrespective of character. But for it to stay, or for it to grow, it needs a certain level of maturity. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Do you know that... Okay, let's go back to the scripture. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is the foundation of everything that you're facing here on earth. It's actually the key. Exercising your senses to discern good and evil. Now, the discerning of good and evil is in this way. We discern people, we discern circumstances, and events. Yes? Now, if you haven't grown enough to be able to discern, there are people, for example, who hate you simply because they haven't been able to discern good. But you guys now, eh? So some person out there is busy talking, now you're the chick, now you're what, now you're gonna, eh? But they haven't exercised their senses to be able to discern good from evil. There are people you call good, but it's as a result you haven't been able exercise good from evil. It's actually the secret behind why a man like Jesus, and I have many people who ask me this question, a man like Jesus can go ahead, see before the foundations of the earth that there's like a Judas coming, and he goes around. Paul is existing at exactly the same time, passes Paul and goes to Judas, come. That thing messed me up for a while, eh? Yeah, you go to Judas. Judas. Now, what was Judas's issue? Money. Judas's issue was simply mammon. Okay? Not that wherever money was, his true self came out. Huh? So, in other words, absent of money, the guy is the best guy in the world. Bring dimes. Huh? And his true character shows up. That means Judas's issue, that's what you call a spirit of mammon. Eh? That was Judas's issue. It's not that he was necessarily a bad guy. Huh? Now, what Jesus does, and you guys have been around for long, in his wisdom, what he does, knowing who Judas is and Judas's issue, he makes him treasurer. He doesn't get Matthew, the tax collector, who knows money. He puts the guy whose issue is money, and puts him there, your treasurer. And the Bible gives us hints, man. The guy was eating money, doing what? When someone is pouring perfume, he's saying this could have been used for something else. And by the way, let me tap on something. You know that people have a spirit of Judas in the very sense whenever they see you buying yourself nice things. And they say, but this could have been used for something else, helping the poor, helping what? Yet themselves if they had the money. It's actually like a certain spirit, Judas spirit. If God has blessed me with money, God has blessed me with money. By the way, it is a good thing. That's why I told you, I gave you a scripture at the beginning. He says, I will by multiplying, I will multiply thee. By blessing, I will bless thee. Okay? So Jesus puts him right there. Why does he do that? Because by the mind of the Spirit, God is the only one who chooses someone knowing they're going to fail, but chooses them anyway. If many of you knew that your best friend was going to betray you, you'd avoid them. Huh? Because the mind of God is this, eh? If I put you where your weakness is, if you defeat the weakness, you've won. If Judas had defeated Mammon, he would never have betrayed. Because he betrayed because of 30 pieces of silver. And you get what I'm saying? And so that's why many men of God led of the Spirit will often, if they can discern your issue, bring you closer. Now I've messed up an hour. No more guys. Eh? Huh? They bring you closer. Especially if it's just, that's why the Bible says, in your weakness, my strength is perfected.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, men are trees. Men are trees. And the truth of the fact is this, that in the spirit, we are in an urgent need of oneness in the body. Urgent. One day when the Lord opens your eyes, if he hasn't already, you will learn that in the spirit, there is more to it. Well, that scripture that says, where two or more agree, there shall I be. It's not just the agreeing of accord. We're in one accord. Well, we are together again. No. You understand? That's not what it's talking about. That's a very plain understanding of it. The agreement there is body, soul, and spirit. When people walk down the street, they are shouting, "Our man," they're just bodies gathering. When people sit in a meeting and are planning the targets of the company, those are souls because there's reasoning. Now here, spirits are supposed to meet. Not just body, not just soul. Now that doesn't make sense to me. No, spirit. And the mind of the spirit is that where two or more agree. If you knew what happens in the spirit, the church is a body. But also when two people pray together and they're in agreement, body, soul, spirit, what the enemy sees, and I know what I've seen, what he sees is the two cease to exist and Christ appears. Huh? It's a body. That's why, that's the secret behind "there shall I be." That literally the individuality disappears and one being. It's the true essence of oneness. That's why looking for a prayer partner is not just for the person who can pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fire, 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 fire. No. You know, often I'll tell people that, you see, it's a spiritual secret because, you see, there's a oneness of body, oneness of soul, and a oneness of spirit. The ideal is to be one in all. That's why when husband and wife get married, they often tend to look like each other. Are you with me? People have walked with each other. They were united by spirit before God. Then their souls, then their bodies are united. And suddenly they start to look like each other. What has happened in the spirit is showing up on the physical. Are you with me? Now, I'm telling you the secret because, you see, there's an urgent need for oneness. If you ever see your brother or your sister in a place, because let me tell you, there are people who have character issues. Huh? There are people who have character issues. There are people, for example, like Lot, who are around you and they are succeeding, but they don't know that you're the reason. Huh? Until the day they leave you, they realize actually this guy was the source. And people think that because we're all children of God, no, one cannot be blessed more than you guys. By walking with God, someone receives a good thing. And just being in their vicinity, you get osmosis. Huh? Osmosis blessing. Now, so there are people like that, like Lord. There are people like Joseph's brothers. You explain your spiritual experience, and people think you're feeling sweet. They think you. Who do you think you are? One of the little nene, huh? Even as we dream, even as we what? And so people jump to conclusions because they failed to discern the fruit of men. Now this is why I tell you, you need to learn. I've had people who have come to me. There are people who come in fellowship. People I meet in the week who do not have good intentions. Huh? Spiritual good intentions. And I see it from afar and I even set a date. You come. You come. And then I have people ask me, but now why do you meet those people? You just you understand? And you get is the Bible says, unless
someone is sent, how shall they know? Huh? So if everyone is saying, ah, this is why you need to know your state, your spiritual authority. Eh? Huh? Say, you come and sit. I've sat with witch doctors. I remember sometime I told you guys a story here. A guy came and I saw darkness around him and I got excited. I got excited because right now he actually sent me an email. I haven't seen him in a while. He sent me an email and said, man, the prophecy you gave me, my life is changing. I said, I'm not yet born again. I left those dark, dark things. I'm still on the way, but I'm better. Now, this was someone who had been in darkness, had seen demons, had seen what, all that stuff. In the back of his mind, he thought Christians were weak. Now, you don't know that sometimes you represent the gospel someone will ever read. Eh? And so if you cower away, you actually establish certain things in people's minds. Huh? I always tell her, one day I told my brother, who's an unbeliever, by the way, and he told me, to me, you Christian guys, you're just wasting time. You're just on nonsense. Then we had gone to a village sometime and my parents pointed to a hut and said, that is a chief witch doctor. I said, eh! Chief witch doctor, eh? Let's not pass here, eh? But somehow people think that darkness is always more powerful than light. I don't know where they got these things from. And so you need to understand. Now, this is as I conclude, this is the important thing. That you are a tree. And in the spirit, the fruit that you produce is based on the position you hold in the spirit, which will also help determine the authority you carry. But all that is based on the character you develop. Okay? All that is based on a character. The fruits are mentioned. There are 9 of them. Notice those fruits. While there's a dimension you can see them physically, most of them are unseen. They need to be discerned. How do you discern peace in someone? How do you see peace? How do I look and I say, the fruit of peace? You need to have a capacity to discern. All these things are discerned. And so you begin to realize that as God works on you, pressure produces good character. There's a friend of mine this morning. He has a very, very interesting way of waking me up. Eh? Every time at around 6, he sends like a WhatsApp message. He sent a message this morning and said, there's a scripture that says, to him who overcomes, I will give 100 times in this world, in the world to come, and also in this world. Eh? Then he said, persecution is necessary. Imagine at 6 a.m. in the morning, said persecution is necessary. In fact, where there's no persecution, ask yourself, are you really overcoming? You know? And so, sometimes, you are placed exactly where you're supposed to so that you can shape. Because I always tell people that your purpose is so powerful, if your character isn't built for it, it can actually kill you. Huh? It can. Huh? Yesterday I was with some guys and I was telling them, we were talking about money. And I said, there's a difference between addition and multiplication. Huh? Multiplying money is different from money added. Katibalave now. Then I said, someone saying, all this time I've been adding. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I want to finish with this as we close. Eh? God always considers character before he gives people responsibilities and power. If you want to operate in the supernatural, in anything, grow in character. Samson's issue, as you know, the power was in the hair. Okay? But he fornicates with a woman, huh? And then they cut off his hair and the power goes. And yet before that, he was fornicating. So the power couldn't have gone because of the fornication. It was because of an agreement that was made with God that was broken, and that's integrity. You understand? He was not integral, and God removes the power.
If you want to operate in the supernatural, develop a good character. You know? Always remember that today, the person that you're stepping on, you never know where they're going to be tomorrow. That is why, irrespective of circumstance, if there's one thing the Lord has taught me, no matter who I meet, I'll treat all people the same. Because I don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. Yes? One time, she's not here, so I can talk about it. One time, this was 2016. I was going to sit somewhere. Some of you know. I was going to sit somewhere at Zoe Fellowship. I was going to sit and someone told me, "Are you a man of God? Are you a man? Get out." So I just said, "No, it's okay." I didn't need to explain my. I went and sat behind. So, 2 years later, she shows up at the fellowship. Now you know me. I don't keep grudges, but I had to make a point. And some of you, you were there. Some of you were there that day. So I called her and you see, the Lord hadn't shown me anything about her. So I just had to look. I was like, even if you haven't shown me, they don't. And you know, I was ministering some deep word. I saw her walking. I said, "Aha! I've been waiting for this day." So she walks in, sits. I minister, and I'm just waiting for the prophetic part, Lord. Then I said, "Time is up. Let me see if I can prophesy. You come." She came in front. First, how's the 1, 2, 3, 4? Then I said, "But remember, you bounced me from a chair." He said, "Yes, man of God, yes." Then I said, "No, it's okay. Let's all laugh together. But now you know I'm a man of God, eh?" Yeah. So, you. Now, those of you who are ushers here and you've been bouncing people, eh? You bounce, yeah, but you bounce in a nice way. Because you don't know who someone's going to be. Huh? Do it in love. Do it in love. Because you don't know when you'll need someone. I'm telling you, these things of campus. I was struggling to get my graduation thingy when I graduated. Huh? A while back. I'm not as young as I look, eh? A while back. So, I go and this lady shouts at me, "Hey, so I look at her, and you know, I don't know how to. There are two things I don't know how to respond to. Mushy mushy. Eh? I don't know how to respond to mushy mushy. And I don't know how to respond to people who are just. Eh. So I'll just get it out of your system." So I looked at her, she shouted, she what? So I walked out. I came back when there was someone else. Then one day, one of you. People brought, he said, "Rabbi, there's this my relative. I want you to." I said, "Who is that?" Ha! Oh my God. I said, "Leo." I even met the person, sat there, thought to myself, I said, "But you know, I have an appointment after here. We have to do it quick. I don't know if I can give you. Please. Did I have anywhere I was going? What?" I said, "But I'd already known." I said, "But you look familiar." I said, "Yeah. I remember you bounced to me, eh? Man of God, I've changed now." Okay. So, hear what I'm saying. That you see, you can have a position today based on gifting and potential, and that's how God chooses people. Gifting and potential. But humility keeps you there. Humility keeps you there. And the day you realize, the day most people need, it sounds simple, but people fail that test every day. Every day. Okay? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the Lord. One final story. I feel like telling stories. Eh?
One day I'm walking. I'm coming from Zoe Fellowship. It had ended. And a lady comes to me. And she says, I would like to see you. Then before I can say anything, she says, I don't attend your fellowship. I don't what? So I'm look. Just get it out of your system. So she talks. She said, I don't want to. I'm sorry. I know you don't know me. What? So anyway, I give her a day. And when we meet, I tell her that I know that sometimes you respond to things based on the experiences you've had with other people. Okay? So you perceive all men and women of God the same way. But you have to realize that as ministers, it's not ministry if it's only your environment. Huh? Because ministry is beyond the scope of you. Right? Praise the Lord. Eh? And so you need to understand that now it doesn't mean you all just come and start telling these things. You say, Rabbi, I need to meet you. But what I'm trying to bring across is this. That God is always trying to shape a character of himself in us. Always. Huh? And because my God does not judge you, I have no right to. Yes? And neither do you have any right. So close your eyes, think of all the chaps you have beef with. All of them. Especially, you know, usually we have a lot of beef with people in our house. Not those ones far away. The ones in our house. Eh? Think of all of them. And always remember that a tree has its season. Huh? Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.